when we looked at that category of people, there's over 500 inmates in that category.
The coronavirus outbreak presents added danger for a specific group. It's Wednesday, April 1st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Instagram and Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, feeding the poor in a time of crisis. New York restaurants boost deliveries. Some of your COVID-19 questions answered. Tough Floridians, virtual museums, and scary virus movies. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the leading U.S. expert on infectious diseases and director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, says social distancing measures put in place in the United States appear to be having a positive effect on the number of new coronavirus cases. Still, he cautioned that the number of confirmed cases continues to rise, and places like New York City, the current U.S. epicenter of the outbreak, remain in a difficult situation. Fauci said the country is still waiting for a turnaround and continuing with mitigation efforts with the goal of seeing the number of new cases flatten. President Trump has extended social distancing guidelines until April 30th, and more than 25 states have issued stay-at-home orders for residents. Fauci says the White House Coronavirus Task Force is also considering the widespread use of masks once frontline workers have the personal protective equipment they need. Meanwhile, the death of a U.S. prisoner in the state of Louisiana is amplifying concerns that COVID-19 could spread unchecked in America's detention facilities that hold more than 2 million people nationwide. Health officials and local leaders warn the prison population is especially vulnerable to an outbreak and that hospitals near prisons would be overwhelmed by any inmate epidemic. VOA's Chris Simpkins reports some prisons are taking steps in hopes of lessening a looming crisis.
A 49-year-old inmate became the first American prisoner to die of the coronavirus, setting off alarm bells for jails and prisons nationwide. Louisiana, which has seen a spike in COVID-19 cases spanning the state, is one of several that has released nonviolent offenders to ease crowding and it is hoped prevent transmission of the virus. New York City is doing the same. Officials in America's biggest city say stopping the spread of the coronavirus in jails is an urgent priority. More than 200 inmates and corrections workers have tested positive for the virus, prompting the mayor to order hundreds of inmates released.
Individuals convicted of offenses such as misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies. So when we looked at that category of people, there's over 500 inmates in that category.
In Chicago, judges are deciding on a case-by-case basis whether hundreds of inmates can be released. But in politically conservative Texas, the governor is halting such releases amid pushback from the public and some authorities.
I've heard from law enforcement officials as well as citizens alike who have raised concerns about releases that have already taken place or anticipated releases that could take place of dangerous criminals in jail because of COVID-19.
U.S. Attorney General William Barr directed the Federal Bureau of Prisons to move sick and elderly inmates to home confinement. Non-governmental organizations want other inmate groups released.
To drastically reduce prison populations so physical distancing becomes possible, they should also consider releasing low-risk offenders. Imprisonment should be a measure of last resort, particularly during this crisis.
The head of the U.S. Federal Prisons Workers Union wants the government to stop all inmate movements for at least 21 days. The Bureau of Prisons says it will force all new inmates into 14-day quarantines. So far, confirmed COVID-19 cases among federal prison inmates and staff numbers in the dozens. Chris Simpkins, VOA News, Washington.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Hong Kong opposition politician charged over online posting. China's Huawei warns more U.S. pressure may spur retaliation. Could do a better job, Japan gently chided by U.N. climate chief. Singapore's high court dismisses bid to overturn criminalizing gay sex. South Korea to offer emergency payments to help ease impact of COVID-19. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. With tens of millions of Americans restricted to their homes by the coronavirus, charities that give food to the poor are struggling to meet increased demand from people out of work. Mike O'Sullivan reports on how one of the nation's largest food banks is coping with the need.
Distribution efforts are up at the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, the nerve center for hundreds of small charities that operate neighborhood food pantries and meal programs. It was already experiencing rising demand in 2019 in an area coping with homelessness and soaring rents.
That was continuing into January and February. And yeah, as far as March is concerned, we've really moved into sort of a new world now.
With the economy at a near standstill, direct food distribution programs have expanded, breaking weekly records.
700 families showing up, 800, 950 families showing up.
And more recently, into the thousands. That's because many families have lost their income and most workers are staying at home because of orders by governors and mayors. The effects are far-reaching. In normal times, food banks can send help to other needy regions.
This pandemic is affecting all 50 states. It's affecting virtually all of our food banks.
But food banks are still trying to share information.
Silicon Valley, parts of the Bay Area had got hit a little bit earlier than we did. So, you know, getting on the phone with them has been very helpful to help us prepare and try to be proactive.
On the downside, across the United States, some neighborhood food pantries have closed.
Mostly because they are run by older individuals that are now sheltering in place. So food banks have had to make up for that, those closures in those communities by trying to schedule mobile distributions and the like to still continue to serve those communities.
What has made matters worse, food donations are down as well. Food banks are filling the gap by buying needed items on the open market. These charities say the distribution system is strained but still intact, at least for now. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Happening now in Asia, officials in southwestern China say at least 19 people have been killed while fighting a raging forest fire. As many as 2,000 firefighters have been deployed to battle the fire, threatening a nearby town and a chemical storage facility. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, in New York City, where there are nearly 18,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, doctors and nurses are on the front line of the pandemic. One restaurant owner there has figured out a way to help by raising money to deliver meals to area hospitals. Aaron Feder reports for VOA from New York City.
Luca De Pietro is the owner of five successful Italian restaurants in New York City. When the governor of the state ordered the shutdown of all restaurants except for takeout and delivery, Di Pietro decided to keep only one of his restaurants open. On March 19th, a customer who wanted to do something to help called and ordered 40 meals to be delivered to the doctors and nurses at a New York City hospital.
It made me realize that these people were already overwhelmed. Anything that could be done from the outside was greatly appreciated.
An idea was born. Di Pietra enlisted the help of his family and employees. Together, they built a website and launched a program he's calling Feed the Frontlines NYC.
I had a friend help me build the website pretty much overnight. And so we put it all together, came up with a name, got people working on social media, and we've had an incredible response since then.
Since the program was launched, Feed the Frontlines NYC has raised well over $100,000 and delivered several thousand meals.
Yeah, I'm a donor. It was a very easy decision. It's kind of a win-win. Luca can keep some people employed and most importantly get some love, gratitude, and food to frontline healthcare workers.
It has grown exponentially. Every day we do more deliveries.
Nurses have told DiPietro that he's saving them valuable time. They no longer have to get out of their protective gear, leave the hospital to get food, and come back. With protective gear in short supply and a surge in patients, DiPietro and his donors are helping to save lives.
We are delivering 100 meals today for the emergency room personnel.
This quickly cobbled together initiative benefits everyone. For DiPietro, it means keeping his business going. And through the generosity of his donors, he is helping the medical teams on the front lines of the coronavirus outbreak in America's hardest hit city.
We're coming back every day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Be well. Stay safe. As this effort is going on, more restaurants are reaching out, and also food vendors, coffee vendors.
Aaron Fedor for VOA News, New York City.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, Thailand is suffering a drought that could be its worst in four decades. For some Thais who are turning on their faucets, a stream of salty water is flowing thanks to seawater intrusion into lower-level rivers and reservoirs. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, many people still have many questions about the coronavirus, how it spreads, and what can be done to stop it. VOA Turkish correspondents recently spoke with Dr. Yesim Demirdag, an assistant professor of the Division of Pediatric Allergy and Immunology at Columbia University, to answer some common questions that you may also be asking.
You need to be with an infected person for 10 minutes in order to get infected. Is that true or false?
It is true, and it depends. It depends on the environment.
Salt water flush out the virus.
It's not true. It can help. However, we don't know if it really flushes out the virus.
Another claim is the coronavirus will go away in the summer when it's warm.
Not true. We don't know that yet.
Holding your breath can prevent you from getting it.
Not true.
The coronavirus lives in the throat. Drink lots of water so the virus is pushed out into stomach where the acid will kill it.
Partially true. However, the virus also lives inside of the cells. It doesn't go to your stomach even if you drink the water, but the virus outside of the cells, you can drink it and then it can go to the stomach. However, there are more virus inside of the cell.
You can be infected for 2 weeks and not have symptoms.
That's true.
Vitamins will give you immunity from the virus. Take lots of supplemental vitamins.
That's not true. Just eat healthy.
No supplements at all?
Not really, for coronavirus.
What would you like to recommend to people during these outstanding days we are having?
Just follow the updates from the CDC website, from the World Health Organization website, and follow the updates from your local Department of Health.
Thank you very much from Columbia University, Yesim Demirdağ, Dr. Yesim Demirdağ. Thanks for responding to all our questions.
You're
Thank
welcome.
Floridians are not strangers to natural disasters. In a state famous for hurricanes and floods, locals know how to prepare for emergencies. But the coronavirus pandemic that shook the world in the last few weeks has affected the Sunshine State more than residents could have imagined. Lilia Anisimova has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
With the number of confirmed coronavirus cases well into the hundreds in Florida, residents are rushing to stores to buy food and stock up on necessities.
I have a family and I don't want to wait until, you know, everything is empty and I don't have enough. I think it's my responsibility with my family.
Usually they order, like, especially baby formulas, baby wipes, water.
If we end up being quarantined like China, then, you know, this, you can't leave your house, so you got to keep stuff supplies.
The coronavirus pandemic has especially disrupted Florida's tourism industry that traditionally booms during spring break. Miami authorities have canceled the annual Ultra Music Festival scheduled for the end of March. Florida has also canceled the Miami Open tennis tournament. Carlos Jimenez, mayor of Miami-Dade County, has ordered clubs, bars, and schools to close and announced special provisions for the elderly.
All community centers that serve seniors will close in the afternoon. They are the most vulnerable to the COVID-19 virus, our senior citizens. They will be supplied with enough meals to get them through the week. Starting next week, the county will be delivering meals to those seniors at their homes until further notice.
This pandemic is personal for Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, who tested positive for coronavirus. He keeps a video diary in social media networks where he updates people daily on his well-being and physical state.
The fourth day, today I feel very good. I took two temperature readings this morning and that was at 98. If mild to almost no symptoms right now, so I'm very fortunate that I seem to be, for the moment, in that 80% category, was experiencing mild to no symptoms.
By mid-March, Florida had four deaths from coronavirus, as hundreds of people are still waiting to be tested. For Lilia Anisimova in Miami, Florida, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Are my pets safe from coronavirus? There's no current evidence that cats and dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. Museums across the United States have closed to the public. That's to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. But it hasn't stopped the guardians of some of the greatest art collections in the country from sharing their national treasures with people around the world. VOA's Julie Tabo spoke with the director of one of the Smithsonian Institution's most popular museums about the many ways they're reaching their audience.
Washington's revered Smithsonian museums have temporarily closed to the public to help contain the spread of COVID-19. But all 19 museums and the National Zoo are inviting the public to visit them online for a compelling collection of digital offerings.
So a great place to start is to go to our website, which is npg.si.edu. You can look at the collection, you can look at special exhibitions, and then there are all sorts of resources for people at home, particularly for parents who are now finding themselves being educators.
This video, submitted for online competition, describes a Mexican woman's perilous journey to America. It's one of six winning entries people can view online, along with interviews of the artists and jurors of the competition.
So you can actually go into that exhibition in depth in a way that you would have a very different experience if you came into the gallery.
Welcome to Portraits, a podcast from the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery.
Also available is a series of podcasts that explores the lives of prominent people who have helped shape American life and culture. Virtual visitors can also view hundreds of photos and videos on the museum's Facebook page.
Our book today is called Rap-A-Tap-Tap, Here's Bojangles, Think of That.
There's story time for kids.
This is a portrait of Barack Obama that we created during the Open Studio.
And art classes for kids of all ages.
One of the most exciting things is when we did our first teaching how to make a portrait with Jill last Friday at 11 o'clock. By Sunday, we had over 1,500 downloads. We'd had, hundreds of thousands of shares. And then we talk about social distancing. I like to think of social connecting. Just because we can't be in proximity to each other doesn't mean that we can't be actually communicating with each other.
The museum plans to launch more digital storytime sessions, art-making workshops, and more in the coming weeks. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
Many of us have been spending a lot of time at home, and you've probably been watching a fair amount of television. Movies about viruses spreading and threatening global communities are going viral on streaming services, as you may know. Why these films are so thrilling to worldwide audiences, and why do people rewatch many of these classics during the coronavirus epidemic? VOA's Penelope Palou looks into it.
This is not an episode of coronavirus. It is a scene from the 1995 movie thriller Outbreak by Wolfgang Petersen and one of the top 10 films currently streaming on Netflix. As new movie productions have gone to a screeching halt during the epidemic and movie theaters have closed their doors temporarily to the public, people turn to streaming services and films such as Outbreak about a virus transmitted through an African monkey in a small Californian town of 2,600 that subsequently is quarantined by the U.S. Army.
The most optimistic projection for the spread of the virus is this: 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours.
The film, one of many dealing with doomsday scenarios, is built on the anxiety of an unseen enemy transmitted from one person to another, of people locked indoors to protect themselves or others. Corrupt military men spread false information to the public and plan to eliminate the virus by blowing the town sky high.
They're dropping it.
But why do viewers watch these types of films during the coronavirus epidemic? Dr. Caroline Lorente, a developmental psychologist, attributes that to what she calls humans' death angst, a deep sense of anxiety as people try to make sense of their own mortality. She says doomsday films with a positive outcome comfort viewers.
It's escapism, right? This idea, and some people might say that's what it is, that we can, for 2 hours, get out of our heads and then to the screen, into the story. And there's something exciting and thrilling about watching some of these thrillers. It raises our heart rates, but the arc is beautiful because then there's a thrill and then almost always this reparation.
Film expert Cynthia Fuchs says doomsday films such as Steven Soderbergh's 2011 film Contagion about a deadly global virus offer a sense of solidarity among viewers watching scientists racing against time to save humanity.
There has to be sort of working together. There has to be a sense of connectedness. There has to be a sense of sort of strategic planning.
Fuchs also says many of these films deal with a pandemic scenario that is of far greater proportions to the one we are experiencing so far. That offers viewers relief that they are not in as bad of a predicament as the heroes in the film. The Plague of Florence, a 1919 silent film about the Black Death of 1348, reveals that people were fascinated with the genre as early as the silent film era. And though the film addressed the medieval plague, it was made during the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918 when people's death angst was heightened.
It's easier to see it on this big screen than it is to face our own fears about it.
But then watching a film about a zombie apocalypse or a devastating epidemic is not for everyone, says Lorente. She says in uncertain times when people are experiencing anxiety and helplessness, they may feel overwhelmed and spiral further.
But it can also be a way of working out anxieties, like having a nightmare, but you can wake up from it. You get to the end of the movie and something good happens.
Vaccine found? Check. Humanity saved? Check. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. We're glad we've been a part of your day today. You can find more from us on Facebook at VOA Asia. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And of course, you can find our program all the time at voanews.com. We thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe and be well.